And we are back for the 316th time. It just keeps rolling on. I appreciate y'all coming back. You haven't got wore out with the content. I appreciate it. We are rolling back. I got to say from the get-go, I caught a really bad cold this past week. And I'm at the getting over it stage. I'm getting there. It's not the flu. I don't have a fever or anything. I do have some brain fog going, going with this. I'm kind of on the recovery end, but... Again, I'm kind of moving from the sinus part to the coughing part. It's very annoying, but I do have the brain fog, so bear with me. We're going to make this show as good as possible. Hopefully enjoyable as possible. Hopefully you'll get something out of it. Of course, as always, we'll have a Christian-specific segment very roughly in the midpoint of the show. We're probably going to get into a little earlier this week because I got to fight the timer on the brain fog, and I think we'll have a pretty good discussion with that. Hope you'll tune in for that. I know most of you do, probably at this point. The ones that don't want to tuned out long ago. They done wandered off long ago. If you do get something out of it, don't be shy. Pay those tithes. I do appreciate it. All you got to do is look here on the description page. We got snail mail. That's it. Don't be asking me about what Bitcoin or none of that. It's the snail mail. Those crypto addresses are Sven's from before he went away. I don't have access to those. We got snail mail. That's it. Snail mail. One more time, snail mail. Because I say that because I get emails from time to time. People are like, hey, how can I send something, some support to you? You know, I really get something out of the show. And I'm like, snail mail. I know it's hard to believe. That's it, but that's it. Speaking of Sven, I have stayed in contact with him, and he is still doing fine, soldiering through this year. He's hopefully kind of on the home stretch of this whole thing. But he's doing fine. And I don't really have anything like new to report. I mean, there are some new things going on. I can't share those with y'all, obviously, but things are going well. So I know all of I say this from time to time on his behalf. He does appreciate y'all and the fact that y'all haven't forgot him. We ain't going to forget him. And like I say, hopefully we're kind of on the home stretch of this deal that we're hoping for. Let's go ahead. Like I say, we're a little rough in the show format today because, like I say, I got this brain fog. I'm using that as an excuse for everything. If the show sucks, it's the brain fog. It's not me having an off day. This show's not going to suck. Well, I don't think it will. The Christian-specific segment won't, at least. The first part might kind of suck. Now, I put all my effort into the whole thing. Believe it or not, it may not seem like it. You phoning it in. Now, you wouldn't like the phone-in version. This is... Let's do the listener supporter mailbag. Let's see what we got here. GPD, sorry to be so slow in writing. Hope that I always leave little pieces out. Just anything that I think could be tied back to y'all. Y'all know how I am about y'all's anonymity, but I always read the whole thing. Y'all know that. Anyway, hope that you're well. Not so well this week, unfortunately, but it's not a major thing. Anyway, thanks again for all your good works, what you're doing. May God bless. That's from Nick. Thank you very much, Nick. I do appreciate it. And hope things continue. You know, hope things continue to look up for you as well. This is just a cold. I can't even complain about what I got going on. You know, as long as I'm just dealing with stuff like colds and flu, things that everybody else deals with, I can't even complain. You know, from all I can tell, the cancer thing seems to be pretty much behind. I'm pretty much done doing the scans. I'm supposed to keep doing them for another, I don't know, whatever, 2 years or so. I'm done with that. And that's just my own decision. If it's wrong, then that's on me. I can't afford them. They cost too much money. I don't have insurance anymore. once again. And yeah, I just can't afford it. And so, you know, and again, I think they're just milking me for that money, to be honest. I think we're at the money scam point of the healthcare system. So not doing it. Anyway, everything seems fine. So I'm just going to keep on moving forward. Just like that. Speaking of the healthcare system, this is not related to myself, but have y'all know, you can just tell they want to have a new pandemic so damn bad they can't stand it. Have you noticed that? Here, I don't know how it is on y'all's, you know, news, local news, you know, state by state or whatever. But here in Texas, they keep going on and on about these measles. Oh my gosh, another child has been diagnosed with measles in this far-flung part of the state. And they keep trying to hype this measles thing. Oh my gosh, another child has the measles. I'm going to tell you something. When I was a kid, it wasn't uncommon at all for kids to get the measles. It wasn't. They, by and large, they stayed at home and got over it. I mean, seriously, it's not. And they're trying to hype it, like, you know, all, like almost insinuating that every kid that gets the measles has about an 80% chance of dying. And those of us that are old enough to remember, we remember, like, is this a new measles? These kids got the measles all the time back then, and it wasn't a huge deal. They won a new pandemic. I was telling somebody the other day, I was like, I'm waiting for the latest. Oh my gosh, another child has caught the mumps. The mumps. Yeah, anyway. Let's see what else we got. We got another one from the listener supporter mailbag. Got two this week. See, Grandpa Dan, I'm looking forward to Trump draining the swamp in two more weeks. I see what you did there. I sense a slight air of sarcasm. Like you, I'm also burned out by news commentary. I enjoy the life advice from GPD episodes the most. I'm glad somebody does. Thanks for the, you and me both, but I don't know how many others are. Thank you for the shows and your help at Radio Albion. And that's from Jack in Wisconsin. And I do, again, I thank you, Jack, as well. And I thank all of y'all for tuning in. We keeping this thing together. It's going to get better. As I've said for all this time that Sven's been gone, you know, I know we're operating on a skeleton crew. I know the site doesn't work like it used to. You know, the chat room's long gone, for instance. You know, I know it. We're just holding it together for now, but it will get better. There's a light, alas, a light at the end of the tunnel. No, you're right. I mean, I do. I get really tired of, I'm just burned out on political commentary because, you know, when you understand what's going on, there's really, what's there to discuss? You know, I understand that. Virtually every one of you that listens to the show, y'all already know this stuff. What good does it do for me to sit here and go on and on about things that y'all know about? You know, I want this show to be interesting. We're at 316 of doing this. And sometimes my confidence wavers that this is interesting. When you get into a show, 316 hours plus, that's not counting daily nationalist shows and things such as that. You know, every show, whether I'm successful at that, my goal is for it to be interesting. Because of that, my priority is always Christian specific segment. Doesn't mean that I don't put effort into all of it. I do. I want the whole thing to be interesting because this part comes first. Even if you're like here for the Christian specific segment, if the first part is this boring nonsense, it's going to be hard to hang on. But political commentary is just kind of by its nature going to get to be boring content because y'all kind of already know this stuff. I mean, don't get me wrong. I mean, we are going to continue to talk about it when it's interesting. But it's just like Jack here says, you know, Trump's going to drain the swamp in two more weeks. I've been saying, as y'all know, from before the election, we're just watching the deal that's been made. And you see the same hustle in the system so many times. And we're seeing it again, and so many people don't notice it. You know, they had this recent thing with Trump going to deport one of these Muslim people from a college because they're protesting Israel. And the Red Hat crowd, you know, they're all for it. Deport them. Get them out of here. Shut them down. And they never realize that, I mean, same people that will talk about freedom of speech are celebrating this. Oh, but GPD, freedom of speech doesn't apply to non-citizens. Okay, that's fine. But when you understand how it always works, that of course, when they start this, it's important on who's in place. Trump's in place. If a Democrat was in place, it wouldn't fly, but Trump's in place. And of course, when they implement this, what I'm trying to say is, do you think that's where they're going to stop with this? Let me just cut to the chase. Not him haul around about it. Do you think they're going to stop with that? Of course, when they do the first one, they're going to pick the most unsympathetic person you can. They can. That's the way it works. This is the way it always works. They're going to pick somebody. They pick this person in particular to make an example of. Because people go, well, people are fed up with the immigration issue. And in their minds, they're like, well, this guy shouldn't be here in the first place. Well, that might be an argument to be made. But that's not the argument that's being made. The argument is they don't have a right to protest or complain about what Israel is doing. Not that they don't have a right to be here. They're basically saying it's fine. All these people can come here. But they don't have a right to complain about Israel. Which, need I remind anybody? I know I don't need to remind any of you, but I guess I speak this out into the ether. Need I remind anyone? It's a foreign country. Why should anybody give a shit? It's not like they're even here protesting. The Black Lives Matter stuff had to happen while a Democrat was in there. This has to happen when a Republican is in there. It's when you understand and you see it. These people celebrate it. Ah, get them out of here. But how do you convince yourself that that's where it's going to stop? You know, how do you convince yourself that that's where it's going to stop? I'm not talking about this conservative nonsense of, well, we should play by the rules, even though the left never does. And even if we lose, it doesn't matter because we're the better person. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about understanding that this is going to be applied to you. And if they can't deport you, see, this person's going to get deported. But what about when you're not allowed to criticize Israel and you're not a foreign national? How are they going to dress that one up? And they'll find a way to dress it up. I don't know how you would think otherwise. Another good example of, you see them prepping these things. Y'all, I'm sure y'all have seen the story. Three of these people that look just like you would think, they firebombing Teslas in these charging stations. You know, just. And I'm sure most of you have seen the story and you've seen the pictures of the people. Again, you had to remember, it's always going to be the most unsympathetic looking people that you can imagine. Because nobody's going to rally to their support. Now, I don't have a problem with these people being arrested and tried. I wouldn't even have a problem with them deeming them as domestic terrorists per se, although I do have a problem with a lot of that by the way it gets thrown around. But the fact that they're charged with doing this, they're not the only ones. Why are they being made a spectacle of? Again, you look at their pictures and they're like the most unsympathetic lot that you could pick out. That's not by accident. You look at them, it's like, oh yeah, screw those guys. They look like they came right out of Chaz or something. You remember that? That autonomous zone thing? Again, they're firebombing people's cars and charging stations. Yeah, of course, they should be. You know, that's crime. But you notice Trump's been talking about, you know what? We might ship them to that hellhole prison in El Salvador along with the other people that we've been, you know, that they've been deported. Now, the El Salvadorans that they've been deporting, these criminals from El Salvador, they're deporting to El Salvador and they're going straight to that prison. I don't have a problem with that. They're going back to their country. You know, that's just that's how it is. You know, if you were living in Europe and but you're an American citizen and you got convicted of a crime and sent back to America, you're going to an American prison. You see what I'm saying, though? They take these three Americans, not El Salvadorans. They're dysgenic, you know, Americans, but they're Americans one way or the other. And Trump floats society. Whether he actually does or not is almost irrelevant because it's implanting the idea and normalizing in people's heads. I'm looking forward to these people being sent to the hellhole prison in El Salvador. Again, if you pay attention, that should be alarming. Not because you're sympathetic to these three assholes. I mean, nobody could look at them and be sympathetic to them. But because you understand that never is going to stop with them. That's not the way. We see it over and over. We got a whole history of this pattern. And people fall for it over and over again. You know, there's a theory out here. And I'm starting to entertain it. I'm getting a little off track. You know, there are people among us who are literally, you know, the NPC meme. You know, you all know the NPC meme. But there is an actual theory out there that, no, there are literally people among us who are non-player characters. I'm starting to entertain that idea. You know, you see these studies and there's a certain amount of people that say, for instance, they don't have an internal dialogue. In other words, they don't have any kind of real, like, reasoning and thought process. They just go around and take in information and regurgitate it. There are people that are non-player characters. That's interesting to me. You know, especially from a Christian standpoint, because, you know, I mean, when Christian believers regurgitate this nonsense and say that everybody on the world are God's children. And that's a blatant blasphemy and a lie and contradictory to the Holy Spirit and what Jesus Christ said. But what if there are just some people, if we're in a system that's designed for us to mature spiritually and fulfill God's intention for man from the beginning? You know, if this is a system like that, are there some people that just play a role as a cog in that system that we interact with that, like, they're just non-player characters, like in a game? I'm not saying it's true. I entertain all kinds of thoughts because I'm always liking to think of things from a new perspective. Entertain new ideas keeps me from losing my mind. Keeps my brain, my mind fresh. Anyway, if you're not an NPC, you understand that they always start this stuff with the most unsympathetic people imaginable. Obama, you know, he killed that guy that was an American citizen and his son overseas with no trial, no nothing. They just drone struck these people. And the son especially was egregious because he didn't have anything. Maybe they make the argument that the dad was, you know, encouraging Islamic terrorism. But he's an American citizen. That's supposed to mean you get a trial. He never got a trial. They just summarily executed him. And then the son was over there looking for his dad, and they killed him too. Again, a Democrat. Obama, there was no outcry over that because Obama was the president. Normally in a situation like, if Trump did that, the left would be setting Teslas on fire, whatever the hell. But since it was Obama, no problem. Going back to what I'm talking about, these three people are intentionally, because it's not like they were the only ones doing it. They intentionally went with three that would be the most unsympathetic imaginable. You're going to look at this and not be sympathetic. I'm not sympathetic as far as the people themselves. They're assholes. You know, you look at them and they're meme people. But what you do have to understand is they're chosen for a reason. And it never stops there. It's like I'm saying, they're going to deport this guy for criticizing Israel. But what about people when they take it to the next level, people they can't deport because they're not foreigners. They're American citizens. And people just cheer this shit on. They will. They'll just cheer it on. Hey, getting them showed. Yeah. You know, I hope Trump sends those three idiots to an El Salvador hellhole super prison. Wait a minute. You hope he sends American citizens to a black prison site overseas? Think about that. You know? It's crazy. You act like it's never going to get applied to them. Yeah, as long as it's happening to the other team. Again, I'm not talking about the ridiculous conservative thing of, well, we play by the rules even though the other side doesn't. I'm not talking about that. This is something else. I'm talking about how they normalize ideas. Again, will these three get sent to a supermax prison in El Salvador? Probably not. But that's irrelevant. The idea is already planted in their mind. This story will get forgotten, and where they go or don't go, they can get probation and let out on the street. You ain't going to know anyway. The idea is planted in your head, and people think, yeah, those three, remember those three? They got sent to El Salvador, whether they did or not. Then when it's applied to people who are perhaps a little less unsympathetic than these three, it's normalized. Now, I've talked about it before, how they float these ideas out there just to put it in the public consciousness. Just get it into your mind. So it's normal to you. When you see all of it for the theater that it is, you know. I take the good, like when they do something good, I'm glad to get it, but I understand that it's all theater. Another good example, the EPA under Trump. Been doing some good stuff. You know, they've been rolling back. Making these announcements about rolling back a lot of this emissions nonsense, which is an interesting topic. I could spend a day. It probably wouldn't interest y'all, so I don't really spend a lot of time on it. But how the emissions standards are basically at this point in time a hoax. But anyway, there's a lot of news and announcements in the rolling back emissions. You know, they're not going to enforce a lot of this stuff anymore. And people are celebrating that, and that's fine. Well, but then just recently I read, in fact, at one point I read that they basically had fired all the enforcement staff because they're not going to enforce any of this anyway, because they say, yeah, we're not doing that anymore. And people are out there cheerleading. Good deal. Trump's getting it done. But then I read another story where the EPA is enforcing like a $1.3 or something billion fine on Hino, which is part of Toyota, because one of their diesel engines doesn't quite meet these emission standards, and you're not allowed to do that. But I thought they weren't enforcing that anymore. I don't know. You know, people don't make any sense to me, but I mean, they do, but I still, it doesn't make any sense to me. He's like, which is it? If they're rolling back and not enforcing it, how are they going to fine $1.3 billion to a subsidiary of Toyota for these same standards that they're supposedly not enforcing anymore? Maybe it doesn't count because it's not an American. I saw a deal recently where there's talk, you know, Stellantis owns Dodge, Chrysler, Jeep, and then a bunch of European car brands. And they're out of Europe. They're European conglomerate. Now, Chrysler, Dodge, they were previously owned by Mercedes. If you remember, that was like Daimler Chrysler back then. Anyway, they're owned by this European conglomerate now. And now there's talk about they may sell off Chrysler and or Dodge to this Chinese company. And I laugh because people are throwing a fit over it. No, you can't sell them to China. They're already owned by, I mean, I can understand if you were saying you don't want them owned by a foreign country. But it's a little late for that now. They've been owned the last couple times by European subsidiary. You know, they've been a European subsidiary. They've been owned by European conglomerates. That's already not American. And yet people are like, this is the line in the sand. There's a line in the sand. I'll get it spit out. This is more of that brain fog thing. This is my line in the sand. You're not selling it to evil China. And all that is China bad. You know, this is going to be the Red Hat group because China evil. China bad. You can't sell to China. It doesn't matter that the European conglomerates have run it into the ground and it's a shit show now. The quality probably go up if the Chinese bought it. I understand saying, no, we want it to be an American company and forcing the European conglomerate to sell it. Okay. Of course, we all know how it works. It would mean selling it to BlackRock. I don't know. I got to get into the Christian specific segment, but I mentioned this before. It's so funny because, you know, Trump was making this big thing about, you know, America's going to have control of the Panama Canal. And then he finally admitted what that meant was forcing the Chinese company that's been doing the management to sell it to BlackRock. Good old BlackRock. Yes, that means America. See, America winning means BlackRock owns literally everything on the planet. And then I saw, you know, of course, there's all this talk about these rare earth thing for the Ukraine, you know, and we had the whole thing with Trump and Zelensky and talking about. And I saw a story the other day. The Americans told Zelensky that one of the ways they could have some kind of security guarantee is basically all their infrastructure and everything is managed by the Americans. Because, see, then the Russians wouldn't bomb it because it's American managed. And right in, just probably like all y'all, first thing that popped into my mind, I wonder who it'll be. Will it be BlackRock or just Vanguard? Like, it's different. It's just like more winning for BlackRock means more winning for America. But don't worry. I'm sure things will be really turning around and things will be going into place for the good of the American people in two more weeks. Anyway, we're going to wrap up on that. We got to get into the Christian specific segment. We got to do it so before the brain fog completely takes over and the whole show goes to shit, we got to keep it rolling. So you know what to do. Get in there, fill those pews. Let's get into this week's sermon, The Perish of the Patriots. As we know, it's always important to seek the truth. To keep your eyes on the truth, and especially in regards to difficult to look at truths. There's one thing Americans pride themselves in. It's the idea that they're a free people. They're free people. If you can talk about the democracy and talk about, you know, criticize this or that different element of this country, but if you start going into pointing out the truth as regards to freedom, the concept of freedom, people get, they'll bristle up over it. They want to believe they're free people, but they're not. And that's the reality. It's a hard truth to look at. People don't have a problem looking at the truth as long as the truth is something easy. It's just like, people are real quick to spotlight and point out the sins and failings that other people do. And yet, really, one of our primary reasons for being here is to constantly look inward at ourselves. What do we need to prove? You know, improve, rather. We don't have control over other men. So if you run around and look at and criticize the sins of other men, you're looking at and criticizing things that you actually have no control over. So nothing is going to change one way or the other. Our role here as believers is to constantly look inward. And where do we need to improve? You know, continually becoming more Christ-like as we go through this life, as we go through this world. And it is difficult because we're interacting with other people with their own agendas and so forth. But we are ruled over. I mean, we're not a free people. We're absolutely ruled over. They give us an illusion of freedom, but at the end of the day, we're ruled over. But have you noticed it's not enough? And this is another one of those things that I believe just highlights the fact that all of these things we see, all of this turmoil, this chaos, this upheaval, it is all comes back to ultimately the spiritual nature of the conflict. We see the conflict that boils up in our world in all these different areas, and it takes on all of these different forms. But we understand that the root of the conflict is a spiritual battle that has been going on for so long. When you understand that, you understand the other things. You know, this is just like a couple that has been married for a long time, and they'll fight continually. And you'll notice they will fight about all of these different topics, but the root of the conflict is usually something else. You know, they'll fight over stupid stuff like you forgot to put the cereal away or something. But the root of the conflict is something else. And we have to understand that. Otherwise, you look at it, it's like these people are crazy. They fighting over cereal, having a knockdown drag out over cereal. And it looks crazy if you just look at it that way. If you understand the nature of the conflict, no, they're not fighting over cereal. That's just the topic of the day. The conflict runs much deeper. It's resentment. It's you know, all of these different things. But we understand in the world, we have all of these topics, all of these different flashpoints for the conflict. But understanding the world around us, when you understand the nature of the conflict, and it is the spiritual battle, then you know, we're not left in such confusion over these things. And thank goodness we're not left running around thinking, you know, it's going to be some sort of easy fix. Now, as I say, we rule over. I mean, it's just a reality. We don't like it. We don't like the idea. It rubs against our pride and whatnot. But we are. We're absolutely ruled over. Almost every aspect of our lives, when you really get down to it, we're ruled over. Very little part, few parts of our lives that is not ruled over, is not regulated, is not controlled, is not dictated to us in some form or another. But have you ever noticed, it's still not enough. I find it kind of crazy. It's not enough. You know, they have this like absolute control. It's not enough. They want to literally control what you think. They want to control your mind. More specifically, more to the point, they want you to surrender your free will. Now, this is interesting. This, and again, I started off talking, you know, with the reminder of the nature of the conflict. It comes down to the spiritual battle. And when you recognize that they, at the end of the day, they want you to surrender their free will, because it's just about what you're doing here on this earth. Why, you know, do they not go, oh, okay, hey, we've got this, we've got everybody under control. Let's feed them a little more breadcrumbs. Let's give them a little more circus. Let's try to keep these people somewhat happy so that they don't buck our control. Let's keep, you know, it's like herding cattle. You know, that crap you see on the movie where they ride out on their horse going yee-haw, yee-haw, and waving their rope at the cattle and running them over here and running them. That's movie. It's not how you work cattle. You work cattle by keeping them calm, and you just ease them along where you want them to go. And if they stop for a minute, you let them stop for a minute. And you, because the main thing you don't want is one breaking from the herd, because then the others might stampede after it. It would make sense in the just worldly context that they would just keep everybody as happy as they can, just easing them along with themselves in control, because no one had ever pushed back. The cows go along as you're pushing them along the fence, and they don't question, hey, where are we going? They just know they're not really excited. They're kind of content walking along, moseying along nice and slow until they're in the pen and doing what you want them to do. And yet this isn't what we see. It's nowhere near enough. They literally care about what you think. They want to control what you think. And what that gets down to is they want to control your free will. And we've discussed here before, your free will is an absolute. The Lord God Almighty does not interfere with your free will. He doesn't. I mean, he just... That's one of the rules of this system that he has set up. I absolutely believe that. He does not interfere with your free will. You're going to make... Now, he can... People get confused on that because he exists outside of time. He can look at the overall picture of what everybody's going to use their free will for and how they're going to use it and the decisions they're going to make, so that he knows essentially... to accomplish this, he looks at the accumulation of all the different free will that everybody is using and the decisions they make, and yes, this will be accomplished. On rare occasions, it doesn't work out, and he has to intercede directly. One of my favorite examples of this is Peter's miraculous escape from prison. And when he shows up, the disciples don't believe, you know, the believers don't, they think it's something else. They can't believe it that he's escaped because they're expecting it to work out. Somebody's going to change their mind and he's going to get clemency and allowed to leave. You know, the Lord intervened directly in that case. Why? Because everybody using their free will was always inevitably going to lead to Peter's death. And the Lord had things for Peter to do. So in this case, the Lord intervened directly to free him from prison. He did not force the people who were determined to kill him to take a different course of action. He didn't interfere with their free will. He didn't change their minds. He didn't make them have a bad dream and it scared them and they decided. He had to intervene directly. I think this is a really good example that the Lord himself does not interfere with our free will. We're responsible for our decisions. You know, we seek him out. We make the best decisions we can. At the end of the day, there are decisions. We own them. And people don't like that. They don't. People don't like that. Christian believers try to unload their decision-making off on God. God, it's in the Lord's hands. Well, it's fine to have faith in God, but you got to own your decisions. You know, these worldly decisions you make in this life, what you're going to do, financial decisions, where you know, are you going to quit your job, go to another, whatever. Those are your decisions. Don't be offloading that and trying to put the responsibility on Jesus. They're your decisions to make. You can ask for his guidance, you can pray for whatever. But understand you owe it. You own it, rather. People don't like that. God gives you absolute free will, and people are constantly, essentially, when you look around this world today, they're trying to give it to somebody. God has handed them this free will. But you see, with your free will comes the responsibility. You own your decisions. It's nobody else's fault. It's your own. This is the key element of we're constantly judging ourselves. We're constantly looking at ourselves and what we've got to work on and improve, becoming more godly. People, by their nature, they don't like this free will. You know, they don't. They don't like the free will. They're looking to offload it on somebody else. And the enemy takes advantage of that. People want to surrender their free will. They want somebody else to take all the responsibility. Now, they won't tell you that. They'll talk about how they don't want that. But when you keep pushing and looking, you soon find that when it comes to the responsibility part, they absolutely don't want any part of it. And again, part of free will is you shoulder the responsibility. Now, if we circle back, again, we're ruled over in this world. We're ruled over absolutely. Like I say, it's hard to think of a segment of our life which isn't essentially regulated in some form or another. And yet it's never enough. You know, just looking at things from a worldly sense, as I said before, what would make the most sense is keeping the population as pacified as possible. But we don't see that. What we see is turmoil, chaos, and this drive for people to surrender their free will, their ability to reason. Now, as I've said before, reasoning, you know, using your mind, the mind is of the spiritual. You know, I do believe that. Your free will, I don't want to put this, your free will, and in the context of what we're discussing here, it relates to your mind. Now, I believe your mind is of the spiritual. Your mind is related to the spirit. Your mind, I believe, and your mind is not does not equal your brain. Most people think they see, because you hear things like, oh, they're losing their mind, but they're not losing their mind. The brain is the physical aspect, the physical almost manifestation, if you would. Your brain is how your mind interacts with the physical world. If your mind is of the spiritual, then to interact in the physical world, there has to be an interface, for lack of a better term. And your brain is that interface. Your brain is the control center. Your mind, you work through things and make decisions and then use the brain to execute those decisions, to work through it. You know, go here. Okay, you make the decision to go here. Your brain moves your body and you go here. But your mind itself, I believe, is of the spiritual. It's connected to the spiritual nature, who you are. If your free will is directly related to your mind, in other words, your free will is ultimately what is exercised by your mind, which is of the spiritual, then it makes sense that they want to control your free will. In other words, if you surrender your free will, let me put it this way. If you surrender your free will, and because people don't want the responsibility of that, it's frightening. They don't want the responsibility. They're looking to offload it. They're looking to offload their free will. They want someone else to make the decisions for them. They want somebody else to take that responsibility. The inherent danger in that is if free will is related to the mind and the mind is of the spiritual, if you surrender your free will, in essence, you're surrendering your spirit, your soul. It's almost like leasing out. It's putting your soul in danger. You know, you sell your soul to the devil. You're leasing your soul out. You put yourself in danger because you're surrendering something that is of the spiritual, that is related to the spiritual because it comes from your mind. And because you don't want that responsibility for your decisions, you give it to someone else. But now you're in danger because you're essentially giving them access to your mind. See what I'm saying? If you offload your free will to somebody else, then it gives them access to your mind because you're giving up what's supposed to be yours. This plays out this so perfectly. It's actually just by effectiveness, it's very impressive. The way the system does this and the system we live under does this. This two-party, the political system, as an example. You see people and they're against something. Then when they want to move things in that direction that this group of people is against, they simply put the party that group of people supports into power. And then they flip it on its head and suddenly they're all for it. We've seen this time and time again. I have faith that y'all are somewhat intelligent. You understand and following what I'm saying, because this is the observed reality of the world. And it's funny to watch the two sides play against each other. You know, when they, at the end of the day, they all do the same thing. You know, you've got the Trump derangement idiots on the left side, and they'll say they're all about one thing, but if you put their party in power, it flips on their side. You know, they, and same thing with the red hat folks that have, you know, turned, you know, elevated Trump to the point of being like a false messiah. It doesn't matter what he does. See, this is an example of surrendering your free will. I voted for this guy and I'm going to support my team and I don't have to think about it any further. I don't have to look at the truth. I just have to support this side. This is the side I've chosen. Now I give up my free will and just whatever they say, that's what we're going to do. We're going to go further. This entire system from the time we're children encourages us to be to surrender our free will. Think about it. We're indoctrinated in this from such an early age. I'm sure I've talked about this before. As I've said before, I'm under the weather, so I have a little bit of brain fog I'm operating with, so bear with me. But if you look at, you know, as an example, our education system, the whole thing is designed to condition you to give up your free will. They send you to kindergarten all the way up through high school and then on to college for advanced indoctrination. But they send you to school when you're a child, when you're impressionable. And again, I know I've talked about this before, but they tell you when to get up. They tell you when you can go to the bathroom. They tell you when you can go to lunch. They tell you when you and they control you. This is to condition you. One of the elements of this is to condition you to surrender your free will. You don't have to think about, I wonder when I want to eat lunch today. We don't have to think about that. You know you're going to eat lunch at 12 o'clock because that's when the bell is going to ring and they will escort you, like prisoners, by the way, to the lunchroom. And you will eat, you'll eat the goy slop that the cafeteria ladies feed you, no matter how horrible it is. It's institutional food. Again, no different than prison. It's all conditioning to surrender your free will. The whole system is about getting you to surrender your free will. I see people make commentary sometimes about how nobody thinks anymore. You know, people don't think. They just go along. And they're like, how come it is? Why is it? But if you look at the way the entire system is designed, you would say, well, how is it that we have some that still don't? The system works very, very well. It's designed for that. What do you mean? Why are people like this? How do you look at the system that people are born into and, you know, operated within the confines of their whole lives? How do you look at that and wonder why are people like this? Essentially, we look at having to break free of that system. Because most of us, you know, we're born, they send us to school, we all go through the program. And we do, we go through the program. So later, when the Lord moves us to start understanding our role in the world and taking back control of our free will, we have to break free of that indoctrination. They start on it when we're children because that's when we're most easily programmed, we're most easily manipulated. We form that thought process and most people never break free from it. And people are like, how come folks are like this? Maybe they should be asking, why is the system determined? They want, you know, for people to be like this. They want you to surrender your free will. It gives them access to the spiritual. It comes back to the nature of this conflict, and it is of a spiritual nature. You give up your free will. You hand it over to them, thinking you absolve yourself of responsibility. Remember, the devil's a liar and a murderer. You're not absolved of your responsibility because you have made your decision to look away from the truth, hand your free will off to someone else. But you're not absolved of the responsibility. The devil wants you to think that. He implies that. And people buy into it. But it's still your free will. You allow someone access to it. You can't actually give it up, if that makes sense. You can't give up that responsibility. Remember, I've said this time and time again. One of the ways to actually spot things that are of the devil versus just people being horrible and evil is the devil will always give you a choice. He'll make it as difficult as possible. He might try to obscure the fact that you have a choice, but he will give you a choice. Men will just do things to you. You know, that's the difference. The devil wants you to choose so that you stand accused. And to say you stand accused, it doesn't necessarily mean the devil literally standing there pointing and screaming at you, accusing you before God. It means you stand with the responsibility that you made that choice. So I'm saying you stand accused of yourself, basically, because you decided to do that. You own that responsibility. Again, you can just decide to just leave it to this authority figure or just, well, I'm just going to trust in that. People have abandoned God, but they have that urge to have a God. And one of the things, I've said this before, I know, but one of the things they've used to replace God with are these ideologies. This is another example, people surrendering, you know, the way they get you to surrender your free will is these ideologies. And it doesn't matter what the ideology is. I hate to tell you, even ideologies that you somewhat agree with, you have to understand that those are ideologies and they can't take the place of free will. Let's talk about that. Okay, because again, we live in a godless nation. Anywhere in the West. I'm just not just talking about America. If you live in Germany, you live in a godless nation. If you live in France, you live in a godless nation. Excuse me. We live in a godless nation, but people, by their very spiritual nature, will seek a God, so they create false gods. This is where idolatry comes from. They reject God, but because they have a spiritual drive to have a God, they create a new God. Even the most vehement atheists, they create another God. Usually it's themselves, or quote-unquote man, or Mother Earth, or whatever nonsense. It's all ideology. It comes from the spirit. You have a spiritual drive to have a God. If you reject God, you will, by your nature, because you can't escape your nature. This is a part of fundamentally who you are. You will construct a new God to follow. You may not call it your God, but it will be God. Like I said, the most vehement, observe the most vehement atheists, and you'll spot their God. Usually it's some form of themselves or some other creation they construct, they put together. One of the most common manifestations of this false God, of this ideology, I'm getting my words mixed up. Like I said, I'm operating under brain fog here. One of the most common manifestations of this idolatry are people following these ideologies. Now, what's funny about this is it becomes so evident that this is related to, again, wanting to surrender that free will. All you have to do, you think about it. As a Christian believer, you're constantly struggling to find the truth of things. It's a lot of work because the truth can be obscured. Ideologies, you just pick your ideology and you judge whether something is good, bad, true, false, by whether or not it fits into the ideology. Does that make sense? This is what I mean about surrendering your free will. Instead of thinking about each individual thing and trying to work out, is this true or not? All you got to do is see which slot does this fall in. If you're a quote-unquote liberal, does this fall into the liberal slot? If yes, then it's good and true. If no, then it's evil and bad. And it swaps out. Look at these people that were, you know, they were all running around loving Elon Musk and Tesla for years, and now all of a sudden they just swapped the chip out. Now they're going around vandalizing cars that are more than likely owned by people just like them. Doesn't make any sense because it just, whatever fits into the ideology. And it doesn't matter. I'm sorry. It doesn't matter what the ideology is. It's that surrender of free will. People will tell you, you listen to the way they, it's reflected by the way they form, by the way they phrase it. Well, I believe in conservatism. I believe in communism. I believe in national socialism. I believe in the democracy values of who we are. I believe in, if you surrender yourself to an ideology, because again, we're talking about the ideology. We're not talking about forms of government, structures. We're talking about the ideology. Libertarians, I believe in libertarianism. And you know, whatever it is, doesn't matter what the ideology is. It will run inevitably, because there's the problem with an ideology, because it's a false god. Is it inevitably, you know, on the surface, you may look at it. We'll take libertarianism. It's an easy thing to pick on, but you can do this with any ideology. You look at libertarianism, the idea that everybody is going to just leave everybody, as long as you leave each other alone, you don't get in somebody else's business. And people are free to conduct business with one another, live where they want to, associate with who they want to. It sounds great, but it's not realistic. I mean, okay, yeah, as long as everybody respects the non-aggression principle. But that's not how people are. At some point, somebody is going to not respect the non-aggression principle, and they're going to aggress on you. What do you do then? Well, then the people would have to get together and stop that person. What if he's got a big group of guys and they're going around aggressing? Well, then we would have to get together. You're just forming governments again, aren't you? No. It would all be private. It's laughable when you see people talk about we don't need the government interfering with the free market as if that exists. How do you look around this country? How do you look around the West? How do you look around the world and think the free market exists? The government shouldn't be interfering with the free market. There's no free market. It's all controlled. We're seeing this reflected in how prices on certain things are just randomly going up. And you know that there's not an increase in their cost of doing it. They're just raising the price because they can. I've seen this my whole life, you know. Back in the 70s, they said, this is it. We're running out of oil. The time has finally come. There's an oil crisis. And they jacked the prices up, pocketed the money. And then one day, the oil crisis just miraculously disappeared. You talk about a free market where one observably doesn't exist because that's their ideology. If it plugs into their ideology, that must be the truth, no matter how ridiculous it is on its face. Does that make sense? And again, you can look at this at any ideology, because again, there might be some fundamental elements if you look at it as directly related to running a form of government. Say, well, that structure looks pretty good. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about the ideology itself. You're never going to cover every aspect, every nuance, every situation with an ideology. It's just too rigid. You see? I mean, it's just too rigid. That's how they sold communism to people. You know, oh, well, the workers are not going to be oppressed anymore, and they'll have equal ownership. That never has worked out, and yet you still have people today be like, well, communism is still a great idea. Just got to be implemented right. It's an ideology. I'm getting a little off track. You have the free will to make the decision. And you're making the decision whether you want to accept that or not. If you decide to replace God, because with God comes a responsibility. With God, that means you're looking at yourself. You're self-critiquing, you're understanding, you're growing. It's a lot of work. You're judging each situation and trying to find the truth in it. And the truth may lead you over here. The truth may lead you over there. Ideologies are simple. Ideologies mean you pick your box, and the things that fit in that box are good. If they don't fit in, they're bad, and you don't have to think about it. You don't have to exercise your free will. You just surrender it. And that's what they want. Again, it's not about controlling the people. There's much easier ways for them to control the people. We see this division they sow and all of this. There are much easier ways if they just simply want to control the people. You know, sowing the seeds of this chaos and such that we see continually. That doesn't make any sense as far as controlling the people. Again, there's much easier ways to do that. Keep the people placated, even if it's largely an illusion. You keep them with that illusion that things are great, they have the freedom, everything's hunky-dory. You don't sow chaos and confusion. They want you to surrender your free will, because it's in essence selling your soul. You're giving yourself up to them. You think you're absolving yourself of the responsibility, but the devil's a liar and a murderer. You never absolve yourself of the responsibility of your free will because it was given to you by God. So you can't give it away. It is given to you by God. If God doesn't take your free will away, no one else is either. You're just telling yourself you're giving it away by trying to take hands off of the responsibility. It'd be like driving your car 100 miles an hour down the road and saying, I can't take this responsibility of driving, so I'm going to put my hands up in the air and close my eyes. Now I'm not responsible for driving. When you go off the cliff, you can keep telling yourself right till you smack your ass into the bottom that you ain't responsible, but you're still going to run off the cliff because you're driving the car. Whether you like it or not, you're the one behind the wheel. You're the one responsible. Just, that's how it is. You can't give it up. Again, it's a lie. It's a deception. People want to believe it because they don't like the idea of being responsible. They don't like the idea they may make the wrong choice. Well, of course, sometimes you're going to make the wrong choice. That's where Jesus comes in. So you can work past that, learn from it, and move on to the next thing. But see, again, that's too much work. It's a lot easier. Just sign up for an ideology, and then we'll take care of it. We'll do the thinking. We'll do the thinking for you. It's amazing that people, you know, even Christian people, what if I make the wrong decision? That's what Jesus, that's part of what Jesus was doing. This was completing God's plan. To get up every day knowing that on some level or another, yeah, at some point in time, we do the best we can. But at some point in time, we are going to make the wrong decision. That's it. And we're going to own it. Praise be to God in Jesus Christ. He allows us. That's not the end of game. We can learn from it, repent of it, and do better. See, that's the whole point. When they obscure this, when people just run away from the responsibility, which they can't actually run away from, they run away from the whole meaning of life. So it makes sense. It's like Christian believers sometimes just, It becomes apparent they don't even really understand what the role, what one of the primary roles of Jesus Christ even is. What if I screw it up? Why do you think you have Jesus? Of course you're going to screw it up. You know, I mean, you got to do your best. Jesus allows us to learn from our mistakes. I'm not talking about trivial mistakes of this world that really at the end of the day don't have any real eternal meaning. I'm talking about sin. I'm talking about spiritual mistakes. You are. You can be the most perfect person you can try to be, but you're going to make sinful mistakes. You are. We face this every day, and we go into it anyway. I always say one of the most difficult things we strive for as believers, and I got to wrap up here, but one of the most difficult things we strive for as believers is knowing that we're going to spend our lives struggling to attain something that we also know we're never going to get to in this life. We struggle to be as Christ-like as possible, as close to God as possible, knowing that we can't attain that in this life. We will see the fruits of our works, the results of our efforts in the next life, in the real life, but we struggle for something we can't reach in this life, and yet we do it anyway. And this makes no sense to the world. The worldly say, well, this is all you've got. And when you're spending it running around, you're saying you're not even going to get it. You're wasting your life. Sin is the way you waste your life. Jesus allows us to learn and overcome, repent, and keep moving forward. This is the challenge. But people don't like challenges. They want it to be easy. They want to kick the responsibility off to someone else. And ultimately, that leads to surrendering of your own free will. We got to wrap up on that note. I appreciate y'all bearing with me. Hopefully, it wasn't too much brain fog today. I did the best I could. I hope you got something out of the entirety of the show. I really do appreciate y'all tuning in every week for this show. Hope you enjoy the rest of your week. And as always, I hope to see you here next week for the Parish of the Patriots.